To you for the offering this morning. Did we pray for Dale and for Gitter? Both of them need a touch in their body today. It's like our sister did last week, and so we're going to pray right now, if you will, in love and compassion and faith and confidence that God is going to help them. Father, we pray for Dale today that you would touch her body. She's faced a lot of physical challenges this year. And Lord, when we just don't feel good in our body, it begins to affect our mind, and sooner or later it touches us spiritually. So Father, we pray that you would strengthen her spiritually, that Lord, that you would give her peace in her mind, and that you would give her healing in her body today. In the name of Jesus, we declare you to be Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician. Father, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. Thank you for the healing of spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Dinner today. Lord, that your healing virtue, it flowed from your garment when she touched it, Father. Lord, it just flowed from you. Because love flowed from your heart, healing flowed from your garment. Father, we thank you for that kind of love that we can trust in, lean on, believe in, and stay upon in the name of Jesus. Heal them both today, and send them back with a testimony of your goodness and your grace, your greatness and your power. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. If someone will take the offering tray today and help us receive the offering, we would be grateful for it. Remember also, Sister, I'm looking for her. You're here. All right. Praise God. We're glad you're doing better then, I assume, because you're here. Praise God. I thought you had to go home, but you didn't. That's good. We won't have to pray anymore. We just thank the Lord for your healing. Praise God. Father, we bless this offering in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. As we give it today, we sow it into ground that you have your hand on. It's good ground. It's a little ground, but it's your ground. Therefore, it's good ground. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
We have an announcement. We have a little secret that we've been holding for about a month.
Oh, a secret
so
for a month.
So they're going to tell y'all. Wow. I don't know how we did it, but we did. So.
All right. A special?
We have a dinner prepared for everybody after church, immediately in the portable. We've decorated, and it's a complete meal with sweet tea and everything. So whoever can stay, they've worked really hard, and they are here because they're going to serve you guys while you sit.
A Valentine's dinner, and we didn't know about it?
No.
Wow. You guys are good. You guys are good. Yeah, that's what I'm... Whatever. You guys are good. What a secret. Wow. A Valentine's dinner from them to us. That's incredible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like you to open them to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 1 through 7. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 1 through 7. It's so good that Valentine's Day has fallen right in sequence with this idea that God has given us and this theme that the Lord has impressed upon us of the love of God and loving Him back for loving us. Developing and cultivating a greatly grateful heart involves loving Him back for loving us. What should you be most grateful for? That you are saved and going to heaven? No, that God loved you enough to go to the extent that He went to save you. Your rejoicing really should be less. That doesn't mean you don't rejoice in your salvation, but our rejoicing should be more in our Savior than in our salvation. Can you say amen? Everybody say in our Savior. Amen. Praise God. Because God loved us enough to give His Son to save us. It's the extent, for God so loved. And you might kind of prepare for amazing love. Do we have that in our song list? Listen, God loved us enough to give us His only begotten Son. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. In fact, we're going to talk about that until Jesus comes. Amen? Because if you unhinge any part of the teachings of the Bible, from that love, we're going to move out into just people who form our doctrines, formulate our creeds, and away from the very stimulant that would cause us to love Him enough to love not our life unto the death. Now, let me just preview this before we read from the book of Isaiah. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, we talked about that corridor between heaven and earth and angels ascending and descending. There is a fallen angel that's forbidden to go up that escalator. Amen? But he got on that escalator and he came into the presence of God. Amen? After being banned from the presence of God. But he came up into the presence of God. Now, he did not surprise God. God knew he was coming. Amen. God wanted to prove something, not just to him, but to prove something to every generation of people that would call upon the name of the Lord. And that is that there is a right and a wrong reason to serve God. And dedication doesn't come from serving God for just what he can do for you. Physically, materially, or otherwise. It comes from recognizing His goodness,
yes.
Recognizing His mercy, recognizing and responding to His great love. So He allowed this situation. If you want to identify with Job, God didn't have to do that. I want you to say, thank the Lord. God chose Job to illustrate this through. If you think you're going through something bad, you need to bad that you can identify with Job, you need to reread the book of Job. Can you say amen? Because I don't think so. Amen? I mean, this didn't happen over 5 years. This happened. This didn't even happen in 24 hours. In fact, this didn't happen in 12 hours. This happened successively. A runner comes running to Job, who's highly prosperous and blessed everywhere he turns. And he says, Job, you know, thieves have come and stole all of your cattle. They're gone. We can't find them. They're just gone. And while he was yet speaking, somebody else comes and said, a fire has come and burned up all your crops, or all your crops are destroyed. And while he's yet speaking, somebody else comes and said, a great wind came out of the north or out of the south, whichever way it came, but it was just a whirlwind is what it was. It said, the house your children were in fell in on them. They're all dead. While that one was yet speaking, that one was yet speaking, that one was yet speaking, it just keeps on coming. And then in the midst of his grief, seeing all this devastation in his life, his friends begin to accuse him of unrighteousness. And the stress, literally the stress, I kind of did a little unsavory research on boils and stuff like that. And one of the things that will let those bad boys come out on you is stress. When your immune system gets down, all of these kinds of infectious things can just pop up. They're all around us all the time, but a healthy immune system is one way to not have these things come on us. But when our immune system is compromised, you know one of the things that they have finally discovered that compromises your and my immune system? Is stress. Job was under such duress and stress from all of this, suddenly now his body became covered with boils. And he can't turn any way, lay any way, get any rest from his grief. He can't get any rest from his questions of why is this happening to me. He can't even get any rest from his accusers. You know, Eliphaz says, I know I'm young and I'm supposed to defer to the elders here. But this is, listen, if you're right with God. He said, listen, Job, you've covered it others. Now it touches you and you faint. Amen. Isn't it easy when you're on top of the world to tell other people going through things how to get through it? It preaches real good from the mountaintop. In fact, everything in that Bible preaches so well from a mountaintop. But when you get down in the valley, you have to prove it for yourself. There are a lot of preachers going to leave a penthouse this morning. Amen? And they're going to be limoed to their speaking engagement. And limo back when it's over. And the lights are going to come on in the safe confines of a studio. And cameras are going to run. And someone's going to declare what all God can do. And they're going to have a ring on this finger that, this is from my wife, by the way. I didn't go out and buy it. It's not vanity. It's a love token. Amen. I don't think that I could pay my car off by hawking it. But it's a very nice ring. I doubt that I could pay my car off. I could get me maybe a set of tires when it was new. You know, I don't stretch my hand up this way and say, you know, I could pay off your house with this right here. Can you say amen? I don't do that. Listen, I want you to understand what God is saying to us today very, very clearly. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And I want to find, why, let me get to the bottom of this, because I've heard Job accused of lack of faith. I've heard people say, when he said that I greatly feared to come up, if he'd have just had faith, that wouldn't have happened. Honey, that preacher that is so into faith, he can't even see that God allowed this for a purpose. God permitted that. Job, see, we got the idea that if we just build our faith high enough, we can control every circumstance of our life. And God just sits up there and said, go for it, go for it, go for it. He doesn't do that. Amen? They said, and some of these preachers are still on TV, and some of them are still in pulpits, and they got thousands following, because we like to feel like we can control through faith our circumstance. And that's what got them in trouble in the garden. Them taking control instead of just letting God have his way. I mean, they had the whole garden, folks. They could do anything they wanted that wasn't sinful and enjoy God's blessings. But they just had to have that God said you can't have. Isn't it amazing the things we can't have, the devil makes so attractive to us? What they didn't realize was they were allowing someone that didn't have the right to be called God of this world. How did he attain that title? God certainly didn't give it to him. He's a fallen angel kicked out of heaven. How did he become the God of this world with a little g? Amen? Because men and women begin to bow to him instead of the true and living God. Let me tell you something. Romans 6:16 says, whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, his servant you are whom you obey. So I'm not interested in how often you go to church or don't, or how much you know about the Bible or don't, or when's the last time you got down and prayed some Mickey Mouse prayer. I'm interested in whether you, amen, are serving Jesus or you're serving Satan. Yeah. Can you say amen? That's the bottom line, isn't it? Whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness. But who you're listening to, you got to serve. Somebody. Yes, amen. Amen. Whether you're a pauper, whether you're king, you're going to serve somebody. All week long, you've been serving somebody. You say, I don't serve nobody. Yeah, you do. Can you say, man, you're a servant of God or you're a servant of the devil? You say, I don't serve anybody. Well, that's called self-serving. Can you say, man? And if you're self-serving, you're indirectly serving the devil. You don't have to bow to him to serve him. Just obey his promptings. Just, you're of your father the devil. His what? His works you will do. When you really come to Jesus, that changes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's got to change. Who said that you can come to Christ without a change? If any man be in Christ, he's the same old bound up, wound up sinner that Satan winds up and sits out to do, amen, all those things. And no, if any man be in Christ, what is he? The same old sorry sot that he was? No, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. And we have been saved so that we might what? Muddle around in the darkness and chains of sin. No, that we might walk in the newness of life. Behold, I make all things new. Can you say, man? I looked at my hands, they look new. I looked at my feet, and they did too. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me, we used to sing. I'm in a new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Hallelujah. Amen? What happened to the new life, the new walk? Baptism means that you have been buried with Christ and you have been raised with him to do what? Go in and dry off and be the same old sinner. No, that you might walk in the newness of life. Praise God. The old is dead and buried with Him. The new is alive and progressing, walking with Him. So I said, okay, here's this guy accusing Job of lack of faith. Incredible. Boy, it took a lot of faith not to turn on God when he had no answers, no revelation of what's going on. Didn't see that scenario that took place between God and Satan. But at the beginning of the book of Job, it said that the sons of God, the angels, were ascending and descending, just like Jacob saw them. Can you say, man, they were not fat babies with wings? Say they were not fat babies with wings. Once you get this whole Valentine image out of your mind, can you say, man, hallelujah? And there was an angel among them that wasn't supposed to be there, and he said, "What are you doing here?" Now he knew he was coming. God is omnipotent, and He's omniscient. He knows everything. He sees the end from the beginning. So he didn't stop him from coming because he wanted to prove something and send him right back. Can you say amen? And this is what he wanted to prove. And here was the question. And today, the church is in a crisis. This is an important message, not a syrupy little Valentine thing. This is prophetic today. The church is in a crisis, an identity crisis. Can you say amen? We need to understand that we are not Christian if we're part of the culture. You can't be Christian and be part of a culture. Amen, that has a value system that's against everything that God has set forth in His Word and His kingdom. Amen? Amen. You can't have both worlds. Listen to this. So Job is down there with all these blessings because of his righteousness and his faith in God. And Satan appears among those angels going up and down. This forbidden angel, this fallen angel. And God asks him, "What are you doing here?" Because he wants to engage him in this conversation. He says, "I want to tell you something about those people that you love and bless. Here's what I want to tell you. There's nobody down there that'll serve you for naught. If there's not something in the material, physical sense, if you don't bless them with cattle and lands and houses and grains and riches, they won't serve you." Now, to all the preachers that said Job let fear come in his heart and he wasn't developed in faith, and I've heard that message. It's not what this Bible said. You know what? They call Job imperfect in his faith. They called Job, they didn't just insinuate it, they came right out and said that Job needed, amen, some of their tapes. Amen? But what did God say to Satan about Job? "Oh, you got some of their tapes, you know what I'm talking about. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night." Can you say amen? "I know how you love to somebody to tell you that you can be in control. Because they seem to be in control." Can you say, man? They seem to be doing pretty good. They don't seem to have any problems. They don't seem to. Listen to me very carefully. Amen. Listen, listen. God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? A perfect man." Whew. Well, he couldn't have been sinlessly perfect because no one ever achieved that but Jesus. But he had to have a perfect heart attitude. How many know that none of us can be sinlessly perfect? But there's something in us that can be perfected. Amen. I have struggles not bowing to the lordship of Jesus. I don't struggle with the fact that I want him to master me. Can you say amen? I have struggles carrying out his will and purposes because I have weak flesh. Anybody in here that has weak flesh? I'm glad, or otherwise we'd get you in the altar immediately and try to get that attitude out of you. Can you say amen? The spirit is indeed willing, but what did Jesus say about the rest of us? But the flesh is what? It's weak. Faith is not going to prop it up. Can you say amen? So where's this dedication coming from? Job wasn't just serving God for what God could do for him. When people are given that incentive alone for serving God, it's the wrong incentive. Because if you take that from them, there's no real love and devotion to God for who He is. only for what he gives us materially and physically. Can you say amen? And we've got a whole church world out there today. It's taken the charismatic Pentecostal movement that we used to seek holiness and the Holy Spirit baptism and yieldedness to Jesus and the Lordship of Christ. Now it's seeking the things that God can give us. And that's the very thing that Satan accused the church and the righteous for. Amen. Is that a man won't serve you for nothing. Take that incentive away from him. Take that incentive away from him. And he will turn on you and he will curse you to your face because he's only serving you for what you do for him. Let me at him. Let me take away that material, physical incentive and see if he serves you. Now, the next time you hear someone say, when Job said that I greatly feared has come upon me, that was that fear that let Satan in. No, God let Satan in. Not to destroy him, but to prove a point. Oh, by the way, Paul prayed 3 times because a buffeting spirit was always causing him to have to seek God with everything in him and fall on his face and pray. And the Bible said there was given to me of the Lord under his permissive will. Everybody say his permissive will. An emissary from hell to buffet me. God said, here's something you really need. Satan, listen, Satan played right into God's hands. We serve an omnipotent God. Is this in your Bible? Has anybody got a Bible? Are you visualizing someone you saw on TV? Are you replaying somebody's tape in your mind? Or would you like to get into that book and find out what real truth is? You're not going to find out what the truth is until you quit hearing it secondhand. I don't even want you to take my word for it, but I do charge you here in the presence of the Lord to take his word for it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm not going to give you bits and pieces. I'm going to give you the whole counsel of God. God loves you today. Amen. But he is in charge. Can you say amen? And believe it or not, he knows what you need more than you know what you need. Sometimes I need a trial. But I don't know it. And I don't want it. And I have never in my life, I've told you this, I'm going to keep telling you this, I have never woke up in the middle of the week and say, Lord, boy, I wanted to pray more yesterday, but man, so much happened. Oh, Lord, I wanted to read more yesterday, but oh, Lord, I was so tired I could hardly see the page. So I just went on to bed and said, I'll catch it up later. And Lord, here it is later, and I ain't caught it up yet. And things always keep coming, but I know you understand. But I've never got up and prayed this way. Lord, so many things getting in the way. I don't carve out the time I should. Lord, I'm going to tell you what I need. Just be honest with you. I need a trial to hit me so hard that those things that seem so big that get in the way, Lord, I need a trial. Oh, Lord, I need more than just a trial. Dear Jesus, if you love me, send me a fiery trial. Can you say amen? I want a trial, my God, that'll sift me. I want a trial, my God, that'll purge me. I want a trial that'll kill every bit of my flesh. I want a trial that'll not just draw me to you, but drive me to you. No Christian on the planet ever prayed like that. In fact, Paul, one of the greatest Christians on the planet, you know what he prayed? I besought the Father thrice to take this thing away from me. Hello? Didn't he? Did God take it? Does he need some tapes on faith? No, they need some tapes on the providence of God, the Lordship of Jesus. They need some tapes on who's in control. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? They need tapes on truth, number one. Amen. To get all this, give this phony baloney stuff out. Quit going to the Bible with a worldview. First get with the worldview and go back to the book and the truth will look entirely different to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The root of all sin is when man takes control and quits listening to God. And man wants to manipulate and control his own situation. He wants to be the master of his own faith. He wants to chart his own course. One minister made millions of dollars selling tapes on how to chart your own course. How to have your life on your terms. Listen, don't be afraid to trust God with your life. If he sends a trial, he promises to go with you through it. When thou goest through the fire, it won't what? Kindle on you, because I'm with you. When you go through the waters, they won't what? Overflow you. Why? Because I'm with you. Can you say amen? We need to look for his presence instead of always look for a way out. So here's Job in his dilemma. Now his resistance is down. And not only is his resistance down in his body, but in his mind and his faith, his resistance is down. All the questions that we would all have come to the surface in his life. And God begins to talk to him about his greatness, to show him that I'm your God, I'm the creator, you are my creation. Can you say, man, where were you when this dialogue began between God? See, we need a lofty God. We don't need a God that comes down and argues with us and fusses with us and finally gives in like you see a lot of parents do to their kids. Can you say amen? They call them down in church and threaten to discipline them for acting up and stop at the Dairy Queen and buy them a milkshake on the way home. Can you say amen? That's not how God operates with his children. Because he don't want us spoiled and he don't want us ruined and he don't want the devil ruling over us or the flesh or the world. He's a jealous God. He wants us for himself. And this message of what can God do for me is out there right now, drawing people. And this message of deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me is a lost message. So we can get a lot of people in church to get stuff from God, but we can't get very many people, amen, that are willing to love him to the laying down of their own life, literally the denying of their own self, not just being martyred, but laying down your life to receive a life on a higher level. Nothing in this world can fulfill a Christian but that living water that Jesus offers. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Near Plant City, Florida, they just dug up a man's bones who won over $30 million in the lottery. The woman that knew his body was hid, how far she's implicated is not clear, but she knew his body was back there. And she may be charged, if not murder, accessory to murder. This is what she had to say about what everybody wishes they could have. Amen. She said, the day he won that, it became a curse to him. And now it is a curse to me too. Isn't that amazing that you can have a great windfall like that? And there's teachings out there that said if you can just get to this level, you're going to be so happy and fulfilled. And God is going to literally bless you with something that could become a curse to you. I saw a t-shirt the other day. I've told you about it many times. I didn't buy it, but I like what was on it. It says, oh Lord, help me to win the lottery so that I can prove to you that it won't change me. Can you say amen? I would like to think, this many years walking with God and through the valleys I've been through, that if I won or if somebody gave me $30 million, it wouldn't change me. I would like to think that I could be the same me and love God and be dedicated. But guess who knows my heart truly? Am I in a position to judge that, having not ever been there? Amen? No. You know who knows whether it's going to change me? God does. You know who knows where it's going to take me away from him? God does. Can you say amen? Amen? You know what about your heart? You need to open it to God and let him take care of these great matters of our life. The Bible said the heart of man, fallen man, we're all part of that fall. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's why when I see someone in some kind of sin, I say, except for the grace of God. It's not that I'm incapable of that. It's that I'm kept by the power of God. That I've been saved. Can you say amen? But I'm not so personally full of virtue in and of myself that I couldn't get to some level that someone else has fallen to. We needn't look down on anyone from some pedestal of self-righteousness. Amen? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You pull that grace out from under him, he said, there's no way I can stand. No way I can walk in victory. It wasn't just building his faith so that his own faith and his own powerful anointing could keep him. It was God's grace underpinning him. God's love undergirding him. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. If you don't build an intimate love relationship with Christ, you build your faith to these great levels and come along and give in to a temptation. There have been preachers that had faith to build great works for God, but gave in and caved in to temptation. Amen. Listen, we need to get rooted and grounded in love. That foundation that doesn't shake and cannot fail. That constant in our life. Faith in your faith can fail if your faith fails. Can you say amen? But faith in His faithfulness is unshakable. Everybody say unshakable. So the devil said, let me at Job. Let me strip him of all the stuff you blessed him with. And he'll turn on you. There's nobody down there that will serve you for nothing. That's why there's so many ministries now trying to meet the felt needs of people. Not the deep spiritual longings, but the felt needs. The immediate sense of, I need gratification right now from serving God. I need it monetarily, I need it emotionally, I need it physically in my body, I need my family to get straightened out, I need everything to straighten out, and then I can feel secure and blessed. But what about, where does love for God come in? Listen, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he was allowed to come forth into the presence of God to do. His name in the New Testament is Diabolos, devil, and it means a maligner. It means someone that wants to pick you apart, wants to put you under a magnifying glass and find any flaw at all and holler at God and say, look, can you say amen? Amen. So he was there to do what? Accuse everybody. Let me tell you about what he wants to achieve. In the New Testament, Jesus said to Peter, and I've read it all my life thinking it was just for Peter until I got a little bit deeper in it and I understood he wasn't just speaking to Peter. He was speaking to everyone that would ever believe on Christ. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you. When he said you, it was in the plural sense. It meant not just you, but everyone who follows me, all of you. Everybody say all of you. Have you found out that Satan just doesn't want to, he's not just gunning for Peter. Have you realized that as a Christian? He's not just out to destroy him. Amen. It's not just Peter that was such a threat. Everybody that names the name of Jesus is under that intent of the enemy. Amen. Satan has desired to have, if we would read it in our vernacular, it would say, Satan has desired to have you all. Yes, sir. That he may sift you all as the wheat. But I have prayed for you all. Yeah, West Virginia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi. Hallelujah. I prayed for y'all. I prayed for you all. That your faith fail not. Can you say amen? And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. The reason that I can be a strength to people is because I've been in those deep, dark valleys. I've been in the valley of discouragement. I've been in the valley of temptation. I've been in the valley of doubt and fear. I know the monsters that lurk in the darkness and how imposing and intimidating they can be. But I've discovered there is a lily in the valley. Can you say amen? There's a light in the darkness. Praise God. There's a God who reigns in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He leadeth me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's an actual valley near the Holy Land that is between, it is in such a crevice that it is dark except when the sun is exactly overhead. As soon as it's a little ways this way or approaching one way or the other, it's dark in that valley. And they have to take sheep through that valley to get, and there's no, once you're in it, you're in a corridor and there's no room to run. Listen to me. The shepherd would start through that valley and every one of those sheep would gather up real close. All those sheep is lagging back. They ain't lagging no more. Can you say amen? Because it's dark in that valley and predators knew that the shepherd is going to bring those sheep through, and they're lurking in the darkness waiting to pounce. So you don't want to be a straggler. For everybody that wants to be one of those straggling Christians, I would urge you in the name of Jesus Christ to catch up with the flock. Can you say amen? Get close to the shepherd. Everybody say, catch up with the flock. Get close to the shepherd. Praise God. Amen. Because his rod and his staff, they do comfort me. Amen. Because they saw a man walking out front that said, I'll die for these sheep. Amen. God, I'm in charge here for their safety. I'm going to take them through this all the way to the other side. Let me tell you something about the rod and the staff. The staff is a beautiful crooked staff, because if a sheep started drinking and the wool became wet to where they want to topple over, he can reach for that staff and pull them out of the water. If they get near a cliff and they fall to a little ledge before falling down that crevice, they can reach down with that crook and grab them and haul them back up. Amen. In other words, now unto him who is able to keep us from... He does that with the shepherd's staff. Can you say amen? Aren't you comforted in knowing? How many of you have been near making a move that would destroy you, hurt you, looking back on it, but he reached down and yanked you back? He might have yanked you back with a trial that got your attention off of your sin and back onto him. But he yanked you back. It wasn't because he wanted to punish you. It's because he wanted to keep you, love you, protect you, provide for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! My son said, I did this to myself. I ruined my health. I did it. And God knew what it was going to take to get me to be willing to give it up. And he said, I thank him. He said, Dad, I want to tell you something. He said, if they find out my liver is ruined and I have 6 months to live, I want to live it sober, and I want to bow to my King. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Amen. And I'm not afraid, amen, of what kind of report I'm going to get. Can you say amen? See, there's no deal making for a little bit more time to gratify my flesh. Can you say amen? This goes beyond the gratification of your flesh. This goes to the sanctification of your spirit and the sealing of you for eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! This is not about what your flesh can consume itself with. This is about what your spirit can soar with. Even death can't conquer it. Can you say amen? Wow. It's what convinces me the peace of God is coming in there. Well, if the peace of God don't come in there, you don't stare all of this stuff in the face. He said, I'm enjoying my wait for the prognosis because it's a win-win. Can you say amen? Isn't God great today? I'll tell you, this is the year of the favor of the Lord, if I ever knew it. It's not because this place is full of people. It's because God is on the move answering prayer. Hallelujah, son, the things that we've struggled for years with is coming to pass. It's no time to be discouraged or distracted. This is a time to look up. This is a time to lean heavily upon the Lord. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Let me at him. Let me at Job. God said, have you considered him? He won't turn against me. Satan says, oh yeah, prove it. Prove it. Let me at him. By the way, I want everyone in here to understand, God didn't have to prove that again with anybody. You say, God's going to put me through that. He don't need to. Job did it real well. Yes. Prove the point. He just needs you to be faithful and learn from it. Yes. Aren't you glad you don't have to go through that? Amen. Amen. Lord, give me the patience of Job. No, just let the Holy Spirit give you the patience that he gives as a fruit of the Spirit. Job went through it to show us and show the devil something God already knew. There are people that love me for who I am, for my mercy and my grace, not just what I do at any given time, but who I am. Amen. So, Job's lost it all. He had it all. He lost it all. And now his friends turn against him and accuse him of unrighteousness. And that's exactly what that preacher did when he said that it was his own inability to believe. It was his entertaining of fear that led. No, it wasn't. God orchestrated this. God allowed this. God was in control of it. He knew when it started, knew when it was going to quit. Can you say, man, he knew what Job was going to do? You say, how did God know what Job was going to do? How do you know what Peter was going to do? Peter's there telling him how much he loves him. Can you say amen? Amen? In fact, he's telling him he loves him above the rest of the disciples. He said, they might forsake you, but not me. Can you say amen? Look at this outfit. They might forsake you, Lord, but not me. Can you say amen? Not me. I don't care what happens. The rest of them, yeah, I know. You never, look at him. But not me. And Jesus looks him in the eye and says, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. Peter, pew, pew. Until the next morning, circumstances had all changed. They're not in the cozy comfort of the upper room singing a hymn with him. Now he's taken and he looks like a lamb done before his shears. He looked like a sacrifice lamb. He puts up no fight. He calls upon no powers or angels to deliver him. Peter watches him. Taken like a little lamb with no power at all. And Peter says, if they can take him, they can take any one of us at any time they want. And Peter's backing off. Amen. All night he's troubled and afraid. He comes where people are gathered warming themselves around a fire. And he starts a conversation with them. And they say, you're one of those followers of Jesus, aren't you? Your dialect, your speech betrayeth thee. You're one of those disciples. Haven't I seen you eating with him, following him around? And he says, no, not me. Not me. The dawn is about to break. Some old rooster is awake looking for the sun to come up. Amen. Getting ready to strut his stuff and crow and announce the beginning of a brand new day. But Peter's forgot all of that stuff. He's not listening for no rooster. Can you say amen? He's busy denying his master. And he said it again. Amen. He said, I don't know him. I'm not one of them. And they said, yes, you are. And the third time he swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. Swearing with an oath is not the four-letter words. It's not that kind of oath. When a Jew swore with an oath, he swore by his God. And he wasn't even supposed to do that. Because when you get yourself out on that kind of limb, the Bible said when you bow and you're going to make a vow to God, said don't just be more ready to hear than to speak. Don't just start spurting off stuff. Because you're talking to God and not your mama, not your daddy, not your preacher, not the judge. Can you say amen? Not your attorney. You're talking to God. And God takes it serious. Everybody else may let it slide, but God doesn't let any of that slide. That's why David said, when I get back right with him, I'll pay my vows. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I'm going to pay up. I promised him I'd serve him. Going to do it. Promised him I'd love him. Going to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. People are so flippant. I used to do the same thing. Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll go to church. Well, after you got me out of it, I didn't need to go to church. And I'm right back in my same old sin pattern. Lord, if you'll just answer this, if you'll just meet this need, I promise I'll do this. I promise I'll do that. And a lot of times when we get past it, if we're not devoted in our heart, we don't follow through. Because not your promise is going to keep you, but your devotion to the Lord. Can you say, it's the only thing that'll keep you. And it's love that causes, constrains us. Not some religious commitment that's not made with the heart. Some contract with God, but a real devotion to the Lord. Job had that deep in his heart. The boils came, the stress came. Lord, his immune system and allowed boils to start popping up all over his body. He couldn't rest, he couldn't sleep. He's now tormented in his body. He's sitting in deep depression. And to put the icing on the cake, his wife, his helpmeet. It's Valentine's Day. You see those hearts entwined. His wife is looking at his suffering and his depression. And she feels like God has certainly done something terribly wrong too. And she says, Job, you're in such a mess. We're in such a mess. Everything's such a mess. Why don't you, and you can hear Satan cackling. You can hear all hell gearing up for a party. Why don't you curse God and die. Give up on God. Give up on your faith. Turn against Him. Curse Him. Die. And he looked back at her and God dropped something in his heart. He's getting ready to pull him out of that pit of depression. He got a revelation that is as deep, wide, beautiful, precise, and perfect as any revelation of the resurrection in the New Testament. People ask me about people, and Job answers it so beautifully. He asked me about people. What about people that were at Pearl Harbor? Christians on some of those ships. Bomb hit. They were blown to smithereens. What happens when people are lost at sea? Shark eats them, and then the other fish feed on the rest of it, and all of that is gone. You know, my Bible said the sea is going to give up the dead one of these days for the last day judgment. That means all those people who mollied, God has a big old computer up there, and every molecule, every atom, everything is, he knows where it all is. See, it exists somewhere. Amen. Water turns to steam. Steam just seems to go away, but science says it might go where you can't see it. It might go where you can't calculate it, but it is not going away. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And let me tell you something about your God. He's a lot bigger than people make him. Amen. He's able. The New Testament said he's able. He's able to subdue everything. Everything to himself. We've tried to make a man-made God and a God like we are that has limited capabilities. Amen. The God we serve, there's nothing impossible with it. Well, I don't see how God did that. Well, of course you don't see how God did that. If he told you how he did it, you couldn't comprehend it. His ways are above our ways. Somebody say, how high? High as the heavens are above the earth. That's why we don't pray for trials. He has to make those decisions. He sees what we really need. Amen? And his thoughts are above our thoughts. High as the heavens are above the earth. You ever heard some of these preachers that think they got the full revelation? They got it all. I know everything that God is saying, everything that he's doing at every moment of every day. All I need is some bread and mustard because they'll provide the bologna. Can you say amen? We'll make us a sandwich. At least get something out of that meeting. Can you say amen? That's baloney. That's baloney. And it's phony baloney. And there's not one scripture to back it up. Amen? Amen? Oh, you just build your faith. And you will never have a storm. If a storm comes, you will not have to ride it out. Thou shalt speak unto the waves and wind. Listen. Jesus did that. But listen, Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. Three times the boat went down. 3 times the storm didn't let up. But 3 times God's grace kicked in. And God brought him through the storm. For you that are going through storms, aren't you glad? It may not be a lack of your faith. Amen. It just may be that God has designed a storm. And he's designed a victory for you by bringing you through. I'm so glad that I went back to the Bible to see what he's really saying instead of just preach a little bit of what I heard here and a little bit of what they said over there and think that constitutes the truth. Honey, it's not the truth until it's kibber to kibber. Amen. That's what old grandma used to say. You've got to believe this book kibber to kibber. That's a West Virginia thing. It's kibber to kibber. Praise God. Hallelujah. She believed the earth was flat till the day she died. She didn't care about astronauts or satellites or pictures from space. She said he talked about the four corners of the earth. Amen. Well, bless God, she didn't really understand the truth, but she was committed to it. Amen. Preacher on the way up into the Virginias. Man heard him on the radio, preacher friend of mine, said he was preaching on the Lord will make your, you know, you go through trials and you walk in those high places and you'll make your feet like hinds feet. Amen. Those mountain goats, those young deer that are able to walk on those, they'll go up places that you couldn't get a mountain climber to get up on. He said, God will make your feet. Listen, by the way, since we're into that, I got to hurry close. But God didn't change and make the grade any less steep. He changed our feet. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he did it through grace and our love and devotion to him by loving us. He changed our feet. I will give you feet that can do what only an animal can do up on there that's designed to walk on those. I've designed you to walk on those high places. You don't have to try to get out of it and be flat-footed your whole life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Flat-foot faith. Just give me a straight, smooth way. Amen. I'll just plop on down. I'll go on, keep on trucking. But don't let the grade start up, because if it starts up, I can't walk up there. God said, I want to change your feet, not change the circumstances every time. I want to change you. I want to give you a faith that'll trust in me no matter what. And I want to take you through, not take you from all the time. Hallelujah. I'll give him praise. This is your word. Anyway, the guy was preaching on the radio, and he was a pretty illiterate man, but he loved God and loved the Word and believed it. And he said, the Bible says he will make your feet like hen's feet. And he said, I have watched them. I grew up on a farm, and everybody, no problem believing that. Can you say, I grew up on a farm. And I'm going to tell you, he said it'll look like there's nothing to eat. You can't see a thing that a chicken could eat. But he said they'll get out there and get to scratching with them hen's feet. They're designed to scratch. And they'll scratch up something to eat. He said, you tell me you can't get your soul fed. He said, he'll make your feet like hen's feet. He said, you get in the Word of God and you open your heart, he'll feed your, you'll start scratching it up. Amen. You might not see nothing that looks edible, but he'll make your feet like hen's feet. You'll start scratching around in the Word of God and filling your gullet with you know, and he's really on a roll now. And he said, a storm comes. He said, they can't fly away from it, but they can fly up to the lowest limb of a tree. And he said, they'll get up in that limb of that tree, and they got hen's feet. Said, they'll wrap their feet around that limb, and that storm will shake that limb, but that old hen will sit right there till the storm blows out. And he said, when God makes your feet like hen's feet, he said, bless God, the storms of life can come, but you just sit on that limb with God and hold on and weather that storm. Well, he didn't understand what it was really saying, but at least he was committed to the truth of the Bible. Can you say, man? And he wasn't preaching, you'll never have a storm. He's preaching how to get through a storm by holding on. Hallelujah. Wow. I'll change your feet. I won't change the grade. I'm going to change you. Woo! Oh, you didn't hear me. God wants to change us into trusting people, faithful people, people that he can trust in a storm to not throw out our faith, but to even hang on more tightly to God. Amen. To recognize that his grace is offered to us and it is sufficient. When we are weak, he is still strong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So why don't you curse God and die? All the stuff is gone. And that was Satan's whole issue with mankind, all of us. And he said, there's something beyond here. There's something beyond now. There's something beyond death. There's something beyond life here. There's something beyond this world and everything in it. I know. I don't understand all of this. I don't pretend to understand all of this. But I know my Redeemer. Yes. Number one, he knows he's got a Redeemer. Yes. Can you say, man, what a revelation. Amen. Paul's writings were not there. Jesus had not come and died on the cross. Amen. Many of the other authors had never put anything to pen yet. But God dropped revelation into Job's heart. What you need in a trial more than anything is the grace to undergird you and the revelation that you have one that's paid the ransom for you. There's a Redeemer. And he lives. Can you say amen? He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, Brother Venable, Christ hadn't even come yet. Listen, Christ, amen, lived as the redeeming love of God. And in the redeeming love of God is the second person of the Godhead. He was there at the creation of the earth before man was put on it. His steps didn't begin at Bethlehem. They did not end at Calvary. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Amen. One of his royal titles is Everlasting Father. Because he was one with the Father in creation. the mighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't look very mighty hanging on that cross, but on the third day, he showed he's the mighty God. Amen. Can you say amen? He didn't have to run from death. He could run straight into it and overcome it. Praise God. Hallelujah. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. My son's got the peace to, my son has the peace to live for him, or my son has the peace to die in him. You can't get that from dead religion, but from a real living relationship with him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve today. It's okay to trust him. He knows your breaking point. And no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. You think you're part of those bunch of failures that haven't developed their faith. You're wrong. It's common to man. Can you say amen? In fact, I question some of these guys and gals. Because in that kind of pride, arrogance, and misleading, with a book that reads just like this one, amen? You wonder why they're not chastised. When's God going to get around to them? See, that's because we think when someone says they're saved, it's unquestionable. Their own testimony is enough. There's going to be a lot of people stand before Jesus and claim him. But it's not you claiming him. It's him recognizing you. Many, not a few. Many! You say, Brother Rim, that makes me uncomfortable. If you're not sure you're saved, you ought to be uncomfortable. I ought to be uncomfortable. I couldn't lay my head down tonight unless I know that I know that I know that I'm ready to meet my God. Amen. I can't play this church game and live my life in confidence with death around every corner. Amen? Amen. I worked with a man, his name was John Miller. They called him Miller the Man Killer, Tampa Electric, because he worked you down. He told us on his crew, get your sleep, get your rest, eat good. One man went hunting with him, gave him a hunting knife, thought he was his buddy. Kind of slacked off on the job. John, go hunting with you, talk buddy things all day long, but from 8 to 4:30. The guy told him, he said, John, I thought you were my friend, because he got on to it. He said, between 8 and 4:30, I ain't got no friends. Sound like the military, don't it? You can go out with Sarge all day long or well, anyway, we won't even go there. Between 8 and 4:30, I ain't got no friends. John Miller finally got to the stage, getting up near retirement, planned a beautiful retirement, retiring from Tampa Electric, going places and doing things. He's minding his own business, he and his wife, driving down the road. A car decides to pass another car. Didn't see their car. Came right into their lane, and before either car could take evasive action, head on, John and his wife go into eternity. You can't play with your soul. There's nobody in this world that can assure you. How many plan to go back to your home today? That's your plan. That's your plan. That's my plan. I plan to do it too. I plan to come back tonight. There's nobody in this world can guarantee you're going to get to your home. I preached to PTL. I went to PTL. And before it fell. And there was a man that came out and he sung to open the service. His wife was in her 20s. Standing in her kitchen preparing their evening meal. Deeply in love. She had an aneurysm. It burst. Perfect health. Youth. Looked like a future. And she just drops to the floor. So, he's singing these beautiful Christian songs, but inside, he's still processing the grief, the questions, all the things that come up. One thing God is not guaranteed, in this world, he's not guaranteed there won't be bad things happen to good people. There's no guarantee in there. None. Amen. I mean, this thing can preach from these great platforms. But when you get out and go to a hospital where your little child, as we were talking about the other day, a grandmother's backing out, grandchild is behind the car. She backs over a grandchild. What do you do with that? You just keep blaming devils or people's lack of faith? Or you blame it on a fallen world where things aren't right? They are not equitable. They're not as they. This is a fallen world. Come on, this is not Wonderland, La La Land. This is not Michael Jackson's backyard. And even it was pretty imperfect. Amen? You can't make it Disney World. It's a fallen world. Sin and its consequences are looming over this world and touching everything in it. Your trust is in the sovereignty of God. It's so good to know that I'm going to live till the day I die. Isn't that consoling? I'm going to live till the day I die because I'm ready to die today if God allows it. And if God allows it, it's got to fit His plan somewhere. You say, Brother, how in the world could this fit into God's plan? Well, that's exactly why that your thoughts don't coincide with His. You'll never figure it out. I like that song that says, until you get to heaven, it says, we'll understand it in the by and by. I'll ask the reason. He'll tell me why. And then you can comprehend it. You can assimilate it. Can you say amen? I don't understand all these things. I don't understand why one's healed. I don't understand why that one dies in the hospital. I don't get it. Amen. If you think that anybody's got the faith to have a healing line and everybody in is going to be healed, you're wrong. Healing is our right to claim. Amen. But we don't think on God's terms. Every decision He makes. Now, I don't know if you can handle this. You can chase anything you want to, but you're going to have to deal with the real world sooner or later. Not those tapes you got in your trunk or in your cassette deck. Amen. I have to go to hospitals and talk to people losing loved ones. I'm not going to tell them God's unfaithful. And I'm going to tell them that the devil is stronger than God. I'm going to tell them God's in control. Who was the little child? I went to Pinellas Hospital. Do you remember the little boy? The little blonde-headed boy that wandered into the swimming pool? Your nephew. He just, kids, you watch them the best you can. But he wanders into the backyard through a doggy door. He's not supposed to pass through. He wanders near the swimming pool and he falls in. He's beautiful. He's pretty, not handsome. He's a pretty boy. He's 5 years old. He's just beautiful. They can't revive him. They get him to the hospital. They put him on life support. His mom and daddy's love for him ain't going to let him go easy. You can't just turn it off and say bye-bye. I remember going over the bridge, arriving at the hospital, going in, and there sits a mom and dad, kind of like Job. Why? There's some nutcase out here. They're living for sin and hurting people. Living to a full old age. And here's one of the most innocent, beautiful little children. Where's God? They ask, and I got to try to address this real quick. If you don't let God be sovereign, Satan is going to not only chomp on you, he's going to pull your faith out of you. He'll have you accusing God for what sin has created in this world. He'll have you accusing God for what we, in our selfishness and our own headstrong, sinful ways, everybody in here contributed to what this world is right now. Until we came to Christ, we were of our father, the devil, and his works we did. Can you say, man? That's changed, but it hasn't changed the fact that a curse has come. We're out from under that curse as far as our spiritual, eternal life is concerned. But did you ever look in a mirror? You're aging. I hate to break it to you, but you don't look 30. I was shocked the other day. I went into a restaurant and we asked for the, or where were we? We asked for the senior's discount and they didn't card me. We went to Larry Park some years ago when we first qualified for the Larry Park. You know, there's different numbers out here, but we qualified to get in Larry Park on a senior's discount and the lady said, may I see your driver's license? And I thought, darling, I'd be so happy to Thank you for carding me. Thank you for not believing I'm as old as I am. I mean, let me give you the money to get in Larry Park, just to get that kind of affirmation that I look younger than my years. Amen. But people that hadn't been here for years, it's more striking our aging. Jill came here after how many years? 15, 20 years away. And she came in and she says, "Brother Venable, you look more like your daddy every day." And I thought, my daddy is an old geezer. I mean, I love him, but he is a geezer. He'll come some Sunday and play his fiddle, and you'll see a geezer doing a good job on the fiddle. Hey, when you're 90, you're getting into Geezerville. I'm sorry. Amen. I can't wait to see you when you're 90, all of you that are laughing at me right now. If the Lord tarries and time waits, I just want to see some of you when you hit 90 and trying to not be a geezer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're aging. Why are we aging? Why are we aging? Because this world is still under the curse. We're not under the curse of sin, but we're under the consequence of sin. Otherwise, death wouldn't be here. I'd quit aging, you quit aging. Amen. We wouldn't get up in the morning and have snack, crackle, and pop for breakfast. It's not Rice Krispies. That's these old bones when you start to move them first thing in the morning. Snap, crackle, pop. And then I'm ready to go now. Amen. Why are we aging? Amen. We're aging because the consequence is still here. The last enemy is that consequence. The last enemy is going to be destroyed. It's physical death. Spiritual death for the Christian, gone already. Can you say, man, the man in the man is never going to die. Praise God. Hallelujah. Move up higher, but never going to die. That's the promise. That's eternal life. Praise God. Man wants to be in control. What a relief it is to know it's not my faith that is keeping me. It's His faithfulness. Hello? Because if my faith shakes, down I go. His faithfulness cannot shake. It will not shake. And what produces that faithfulness? His love that is set upon us. Paul said, "I'm persuaded that nothing, things present, things to come, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, or any such thing will separate me, shake me loose." Everybody say, "Shake me loose." Will shake me loose from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I had to go tell those folks, "I don't understand God's plans. I don't believe God did this. I believe the consequences of sin and living in a fallen world allows these events that God never intended. God made a garden and He made it perfect. Amen. Everything in this world that He created, He called good. Death was not part of His plan. We were not designed for the grief that it brings." Can you say amen? We were not designed to die. We were not designed for stress. Because we were not designed by God for a fallen world, but for a perfect world. So the stress that comes with the pressures of a fallen world and the grief that comes, no wonder Satan's counterfeits are so readily embraced. My son said, "If I could just get enough alcohol, if I could just take enough Xanax with it, then I could numb out enough. Just get numb." In no bar, no party life, just get numb every single day. Is that someone that should? Listen, I understand. I understand. When I was going through nervous exhaustion, we went to Atlanta. We checked into a bed and one of those, not a motel, but just the standard stuff. This was a bed and breakfast type place. You know, just to have a homie, because we needed to get away. I was going to a meeting in Atlanta. We went in, guess what's sitting on the table? We're under duress, under stress. It's just, I can't sleep, can't eat. I could go into the details physically of what was happening in us because of the stress. And on that table, there is a fruit bowl. And beside it is a complimentary bottle of wine and two glasses. And you know, the thought occurred to me. If I take a glass of that wine, maybe I could lay down and go to sleep. And you know what came back to me? You know what scared my socks off? I was scared I could. Because nothing else was giving me release. But if I could get it through that glass, guess what I'm going to need the next night to do the same thing, another glass. And after I start getting used to that, I'm going to need some more and some more, some more. And I thought, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes through this valley, you, if I die going through it, I'm not going to become bound. If I can't preach to anybody unless I can get through this valley with you. Amen. The doctor that treated me, he said, I can give you all kinds of drugs to help you through this. I was his last patient. Boy, God's timing is perfect. You were the last patient of that same doctor. You were, he told me I was the last one, but he did let my wife sneak in. Amen. Because we were both going through it. He's a good guy, too. Sweet, sweet. Going to Africa Inland Missions to spend the rest of his life as a medical missionary in Africa. Not going to make the big bucks, retire young, going to give the rest of his life to the Lord's work. He said, I can prescribe you things that will help you with this nervous exhaustion, or we can pray. I thought, I've been prayed for before. I've been praying. But he said, we can pray. And I'm up on this examining table. This table, I'm sitting there. You know how you're sitting on the table? You know, on the cold table, and you're sitting on that cold metal table with a little piece of paper over it. And I'm going to tell you something. They need a heated metal table if they're going to make you sit there without your drawers on. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Heat the table, Doc. Come on. Amen. Heat the table. I'm sitting there uncomfortable on this. Come on, Mike. Lighten up, son. Lighten up. Amen. I'm sitting there on this table with this exam, you know, this examination table with this little piece of paper over it. Amen. So thin, And he jumps up on the table with me. And he sits beside me. He puts his arm around me. What a doctor. He puts his arm around me. And he begins to call on God. And he says, Lord, I can do what I can do, but I can't do what you can do. Oh, hallelujah. There I'm sitting. Say, boy, I was at the point I thought, either one of you, do something. Can you say amen? I need some relief. But he knew where the Lord was steering me. He knew God was steering me to take me through a valley, not take me from one, to take me through one, so that I could stand before people here and other places and tell them, if you're in that valley, God is still in control. If you're in that valley and you think heaven is brass, it isn't. If you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. Somehow, God is going to take you through. Somehow, God is going to bring you through. And when you get through, you're not going to come through beleaguered and battled and broken. You're going to come through with a faith in His faithfulness and a dependence on His grace. And you're going to be stronger on the other side than you were when you went in this thing. And I thought I was pretty hot stuff before the trial started. I was laying hands on people and they fell down. Wow. I preached and people hit an altar and got saved. Hallelujah. Wow. I commanded a devil to come out and he did. Wow. Till the trial comes. And I thought, that's just the anointing. That's just the authority of Jesus' name. That's not me. This trial is bringing me out. And me is in great need of thee. Can you say amen? And all of this anointing doesn't cancel my need for grace, mercy, help, strength that can only come from God. Amen. So he prayed for me. Oh, that was it? Snap, you're done. No, that meant God was going to take me through the valley. Not from it. And he took me through it. And I'm on the other side of it. But I remember every lesson. It's indelibly printed on my mind. When I hear preaching that takes God out of control and that you can manipulate everything with your faith, I think that'll work just fine on the mountaintop. But none of this will work in the valley. Can you say, man, none of it works? But this, the truth in here works in the valley. though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. But thou art, I could be killed at any moment. I'm in jeopardy in here, but thou art with me. And what is the comfort of having him with you? His rod.
Hallelujah.
And his staff. Can you say, man? Because if I'm about to fall, he'll reach. Listen, that staff will jerk you now. Amen. If you're about to fall, he ain't going to worry about whether you get a crick in your neck. He's trying to save your life. Can you say, man? You may need an Egyptian doctor after he does that. As a chiropractor. Can you say amen? Amen? Aren't you glad if he jerk you back? If you're in a burning car and somebody grabs your arm and jerks you out and for 3 days, oh man, they jerked me so hard. My arm is, no, hallelujah, they pull me out of a burning car. Take some ibuprofen and praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is good. Don't work. Hey, grab me by the hair of the head if there's enough. Come on. Grab him by the arm. Grab me by the hair of the head. Pull me out. Amen. Amen. Save me. Save me. That's what I'm saying. Don't worry about bruising me. Save me. Hallelujah. Save me, Lord. Glory to God. Come on, church. Save me. Nando Shela Basite, Mondeka, Ishela, Meshela, every decision I make concerning my people is out of my love for them, my deep devoted love for them, and I'm working for their eternal good. Even when you can't see it, know that I am God and I love you, and I'm working for eternal things and not temporal. There are people that God has allowed to perish, that their spirit that's going to live forever might be saved. Don't ever fault him for that. Can you say, man? Can you say, man? This, you're not going to live here forever, no matter what you do. What pills you take, vitamins you take, exercises you take. But you're going to live somewhere forever. And God is concerned about where you're going to live forever. And he's going to address his whole system to making sure you live forever in the right place. Everybody say, Hosanna. Hosanna. You know what Hosanna means? It means God save us, or God saves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God saved Paul from himself, not only from Satan, but from self, because he allowed him to go through just enough trials under his divine auspices and authority and control to keep him dependent on his grace and mercy, lest I be lifted up above measure. Can you say amen? No one's above being lifted up above measure, especially when God starts using you mightily. Hallelujah. So the more he uses you, the more trials have to come along to keep us humble. So please don't brag on me. Brag on me a little bit, because I need it. But don't brag on me enough to give me the big head, because then God will have to let some things. He don't have to send them. All he has to do is just back off a little bit like he did with Job. But did you know the sovereignty was there? Nobody told the devil, you can touch everything but his life. You can't kill him. That means the devil's on a leash, isn't he? He's not completely free. He's on a leash. God has him on a leash. If he comes against you and me and we stand on the word and keep our trust in God, there's a point where God's going to yank him back. We had an old dog. I used to love it. I used to love it because he was a junkyard dog. We got him to protect a tire shop. He's a junkyard dog, and he was good at it. And nobody stole nothing from that tire shop as long as we had that junkyard dog. But he was on a long chain so he could run the whole length of the place so nobody could get around him. Amen? And he would take off running after somebody barking. And he knew he was on a chain. But he got so intense on getting them, especially another dog. I mean, he would pull you on the chain. I'm going to get him. And he did it over and over and over. And he was one big strong dog. Because he would get the, and this is a big chain. And he could hear it jingling. He, you know, he's running full out. He don't even slow up. And he hits the end of it, and his feet would go up in the air, and he'd flap on his back. And then get up and strain and bark. I know that's got to hurt. Amen. You know, it must really bother the devil to be running like a roaring lion. And say, I'm going to get Willie. I'm going to sift him. I'm going to tear him limb from limb and get right up on Willie and get snatched back. God say, that's it. That's it. That's as far as you go. Amen. Willie, trust in me. Willie, trust in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. God told him what he could do. And God told him what he couldn't do. Praise God. So if you think you're alone and it's just you and the devil and you know that, no, God is in this mix. Can you say amen? Oh, it's all contingent on my shield of faith. No, it is not. If your shield of faith is just your faith in your faith, the devil gets you someday. Because something's going to shake your faith. But nothing is going to shake your God. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in here. So my shield of faith is my trust in his faithfulness. Everybody say my trust in his faithfulness. Oh, come on. See, if you're not careful, the devil will say, yeah, you take control over me. Yeah, leave God out of the mix. You got all that God stuff. You're appointed, you're anointed, and you got great faith now. And you can handle me. You can always quote the word perfect and live it perfect because you got to live it perfect too. Not just say it in your lips. You got to live this thing out. You got to have nothing wrong in your heart if you're going to use that sword on me. Can you say, man, it's a two-edged sword. Part of it's for you. Can you say, man, you got compromise, I got ground. Can you live fully, perfectly on a tightrope? No. If you are, you're in a strain. Every day you're wondering. But listen, listen to how it changes. Now unto him who is able to keep me from falling. Not my own ability to walk it out perfectly, but his perfect commitment and love to keep me and present me faultless on that day. I sure can't present myself that way. I'm going to have to be presented by him that way. Can you say amen? To him. It's always to him. Satan wants you to strut your armor because your faith is your ability to believe. Your faith is your ability to live the word and quote the word, not in his keeping power and his grace and his mercy. And you become bold because you're confident in your own faith. It's the wrong kind of boldness. Amen. It'll fail you. Amen. Your faith can be shaken. Paul's was. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia. How we, Paul and the rest of the apostles, we were pressed beyond measure. We despaired of life itself. That we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises. See where faith goes? It goes right back to God. Can you say amen? See, anybody's trying to get you to have faith in your faith, don't walk away from them. Run. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous don't get it together so they don't have to go there. The righteous keep going right back. They run into it. And when they do, what happens? Are they lack of faith? No, that's where safety is. Hallelujah. I go to the, where do I go when the storms of life assail me? I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I go to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. Praise God. Amen. Would you stand today? God love you. We were getting ready to get into this scripture. I will read it in closing today. Listen to it very carefully. We're not going to go to Isaiah either. We're just going to read from Ephesians. No, we're not. Yes, we are. Listen to it. Someday I'm going to do a series and you won't want to miss it. I guarantee you. Not because I'm doing it, because it's out of this book. And I want to go through this book in the New Testament. Paul's writings, and everywhere that he's praying for the church. I want us to mark it. And I want us to see what he's interceding for us for. What the Spirit of God had Paul interceding for Christians for. This is one of those prayers for us. Because it begins with, in verse 14 of Ephesians 3, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant an..." That means he's praying, right? He's praying for the church, right? "That he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." If you think speaking in tongues is all the fullness of God, it never said that. It did say this will fill you. Amen. Some people got the Holy Ghost. They never got rooted and grounded in love. Trials come, bopped them over, even with all that power residing with them. Discouraged people can't stand and utilize spiritual life. Can you say amen? Love bears all, believes all, endures all, never fails, never ends. It's a constant. You need your faith on something that's going to be constant. Praise God. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we think or ask according to the power that worketh within us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Amen. So I sat with your relatives in that hospital. The doctors are awaiting a decision. There's only one way to put this child in God's hands. That's to take him off the ventilator, the artificial life system. He's in our hands. We're clinging to him. The safest place for your child is not on a ventilator in a hospital. It's in the heart and hands of a loving, everlasting, eternal God. And if he chooses to receive his Spirit into his bosom, he won't grow up in this world. You won't get to see him grow up. He'll never know the pain, the heartache, and the heartbreak of a fallen world. He'll know the joy of angels and heaven's glories. Until you get there. Can you say amen? Amen? And we decided to trust God with it all. I don't want nobody accusing that mom and that daddy of a lack of faith. I would personally take them to the door and show them the door. So I don't want to hear it implied from a pulpit. When people are hurting, they don't need to be accused of a lack of faith. Right. Can you say amen? And I don't want to hear God accused of unfaithfulness. Because he's got to turn, Jesus has to come and redo this whole world. Purge it and reestablish it to change the consequences of the fall. They're here, they're with us. Can you say amen? Amen. Where's the safe place then? Trusting God who is in control of it all. Can you say amen? Amen. Trusting in a God. Your young soldier, if you look at that picture, there's an angel by this soldier here. I want you to look at it before you go pray for our men in combat situations. Their life is in jeopardy. They're Christian young men over there, trusting God. Some of them are going to come home. All of them are not. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, they don't listen, don't get into this finger pointing and accusing. Some are going to lay down their life for that flag and for this country and for that God. Amen? They did it throughout history. It's nothing new. Amen? If we can't trust the God with our life, with our children, with our future, then we've got a flimsy faith that the only way we can feel that God is with us is when everything is completely controlled. Through our faith. No one ever hurts. No one ever is broken. Honey, hurt and brokenness is part of this fallen world. You can't get through it without your heart being broken. You can't get through it without being hurt. There's no place in faith that you're not going to feel rejection, heartache and heartbreak when a trusted friend quits you and even maligns you and tries to harm you. children that go rebellious and your heart breaks in a thousand pieces. I've lived long enough to have God put back the pieces in my heart and to begin to see my children. Job's revival sees the children and the father's hearts being knit back together. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus, but it's only in Jesus. But that's enough. Amen. Hallelujah. My rod and my staff will comfort you if you will recognize me in your valley, saith God. For I will defend my people, and the enemy shall not prevail. And whatever happens from that point will be in my will, my timing. And it will end up good. And you will not know defeat, but delight, even in the valley, saith God. Hallelujah. When I turned the captivity of Job, I was able to restore him. I gave him more than he had before. But I also gave him something that was greater than all the earthly things I blessed him with. I gave him faith that could stand the test. I brought it forth from him. And I set him as an example that I am God and I am good. Thank you, Father. I know my Redeemer lives. At the last day he will stand upon the earth. Though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Peace came to tell a doctor at All Children's Hospital to shut the machines down. And let's really trust God. And God took a little soul to his bosom for safekeeping until the parents get home. Makes heaven sweet. Don't know about you, but I got people. The longer I live, the more friends and loved ones are on the other side. So, the lure of golden streets is not what is pulling my heart to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying today? I said the lure of the golden street, that's not what I'm really interested in seeing. Someday I might notice that, but it's going to take a while. A few thousand years probably before I even notice that the streets are pure gold. It's not the lure of that glistening holy city built upon precious stones for foundations. Amen. No, friend of mine, if I could live somewhere in South Georgia on an old red clay road in a little cabin with my daughter, with the people I love, with my meemaw. Don't make them like that. I don't see a meemaw in the building. I don't think they make meemaws anymore. Amen. If I can live with my loved ones and not have death come, take another one. You don't have to put me on no golden street. There's something beyond the golden, glistening city, isn't there? Amen. Amen. That's not what's alluring me. Amen. It's the fact that death is not going to stop relationships. Praise God. That death will not conquer. I got a child there. I can't wait to get there to see Lisa Marie Venable. and let her, not an angel, escort me around that place. She knows it wall to wall by now. Can you say amen? But I'm going to have my own daughter run out and hug her daddy. And me and my daughter, the only daughter that we've had. I got two sons and a daughter. My daughter's there. My two sons are here. But I have a daughter. I want you to know that. Praise God. And she has a daddy. And when Grandma Johnson died, she said, Brother Venable, what's your daughter's name? Just before she passed away. She said, Brother Venable, what's your daughter's name? I said, her name is Lisa. She said, yes. Because she always said, yes. She said, yes, Lisa. I want to remember that name. Because in just a little while, I'm going to heaven. And I know Lisa's going to be there. I'm going to ask for her personally. And I'm going to tell Lisa about her daddy. And I'm going to tell her that you were my pastor and that you're a good preacher of the gospel and you're a good man. And that soon, amen, you're going to be coming there too. Amen. We're going to be talking about you in heaven. Come on, church. Listen, you keep your Rolex. You keep your Mercedes Benz. You keep your big mansion here. I'm looking for something that nothing here can touch. Can you say amen? You keep your gold. You keep your silver. You keep your pride. Can you say amen? Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus that conquers death and gives me eternal life. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Give him praise before we go home. Hallelujah. 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 Give me my son saved and keep the riches of all this world and of the universe. Can you say amen? If you have to go, you may. God bless you. We're going to worship for just